From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, the prophecies of Billy Meyer. Here's what's happening. The State Department has issued a worldwide travel alert over possible risks due to increased terrorism threats. Now, the alert comes amid information that ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Boko Haram, and other terrorist groups continue to plan attacks in multiple regions by employing a wide variety of tactics. Authorities believe the likelihood of terror attacks will continue as members of ISIS return from Iraq and Syria, as well as the threat from unaffiliated persons planning attacks inspired by major terrorist organizations. Now, they say this does not include the American homeland, but they still want you to be very alert. France has launched its first missions against the Islamic State militants from its Charles de Gaulle aircraft carrier. The newly deployed carrier has 26 fighters, tripling French's capacity. Dr. Jerome Corsi, of course, who writes for WND and noted author. Jerry, your thoughts on the latest to get ISIS?
Well, first of all, George, this is a pretty alarming State Department warning because it extends for 3 months.
Yes.
And it is a serious warning listing the countries, including France and other countries in the Middle East and Africa, Nigeria, etc., that have had attacks, Mali, which just had an attack. And the efforts, I think, to defeat ISIS in a military fashion are going to have to proceed. But in the immediate, I think they will cause more reaction from ISIS in the United States and in Europe, perhaps worldwide, in retaliation. I think that's the first expectation, and the State Department warning underscores that expectation.
Hey, Jerry, how can you put a warning on for 3 months? I mean, how do you know that?
It's very alarming, I think. I think, George, what the State Department is saying is that through the holiday period and extending, I mean, this would be, now we're entering December, January, February. I mean, certainly through January, the full extent of the holiday period, State Department is saying ISIS is going to be intent on launching retaliatory strikes. And while the United States is not mentioned, I would think that warnings, certainly that, you know, Mayor de Blasio is issuing for New York, have to be taken seriously into consideration.
I'm concerned about New Year's Eve in New York, in Times Square, with all those people.
And the holiday travel. I mean, we've already had the Russian airplane, which was brought down by a bomb planted by ISIS. It's a very frightening time, and I think that the risk of ISIS, is with the State Department issuing this warning, has to be taken very seriously.
These people who are committed to killing themselves in order to take others with them, Jerry, what's that mindset? I mean, are they so desperate, so broken down? I mean, what convinces somebody like that to, you know, pull an explosive and kill themselves?
For the average person, it's got to be considered completely irrational, and it shows the fanaticism. I mean, we saw with this, the woman who was the bomber who blew herself up in Paris, who was a young woman who had evidently a pretty conventional life before she became radicalized. This radical Islam has produced a very frightening breed of suicide bombers that would in most generations be considered to be completely bizarre mentally, but yet dedicated to the radical nature of the religion, it is a continuing problem, and it has to be taken very seriously.
Jerry, if we don't talk with you before Thanksgiving, have a great one with your family. I suspect we'll be chatting before that, though.
Well, I look forward to it always. Great honor and pleasure to be with you, and I wanted to say happy Thanksgiving to you, George, your staff, and to all listeners. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And we, of course, will have a live program for you on Thanksgiving night. People, on Monday, police are seeking to determine just what touched off a wild shootout in a crowd of hundreds of people at a New Orleans playground, where an evening of fun at a block party swiftly turned into a nightmare. 17 people were wounded in that episode. Apparently, shootings between a couple groups out there. In Philadelphia, the National Weather Service says an instrument that fell from the sky prompted a Philadelphia bomb squad response. It weighed about a pound and had been launched with a weather balloon about 165 miles away. They are sent up by balloons, taking and transmitting measurements, and send it back to the home station as they come down. People were panicking about that. More than 6 in 10 Americans believe that the news media, followed closely by Hollywood, has a negative effect on the country, according to a new study. Let's check in with the online columnist, Dr. John Curtis, on this. What do you think of that percent, John?
Well, you know, I think there's general perception that somehow Hollywood, you know, and mass media, movies and TV sort of just corrupts American values, or, you know, has this huge brainwashing effect. But, you know, I mean, to some extent, I mean, you know, they basically just give, you know, the public what it is that they're demanding. So, you know, you have to ask yourself, well, what is the, you know, the state of American society today that is seeking the, you know, the violence and the sex and the kind of portrayals that seem to sell advertising in Hollywood, or the 24-hour news cycle, which, you know, has a lot of really sensational news. It doesn't have too many things that are uninteresting. People don't want to pay attention to it.
I think, too, along with this survey, the Pew survey that, you know, says 65% say the news media has a negative effect on America, I think Americans are simply fed up with just about everything right now, John.
Well, I think the insurgent candidates, you know, there's a lot of folks who are wondering, well, how is it that this Trump, you know, has, or Ben Carson for that matter, has really just captured the imagination? Well, these are the candidates that are not mainstream. These are the people that are like saying enough is enough. We're fed
That's
up
right.
with, you know, the media and, you know, the kind of sabotaging that goes on in the mainstream media when it comes to reporting things. And I think that, you know, that I heard an analysis by a very respected guy that, you know, of course, I've known for a long time, named Larry Sabato from the University of Virginia, who said that he believes that last minute, the American public will somehow, the Republican Party will come to their senses and they will vote for a mainstream candidate. George, I don't see that there's somebody who embodies the frustration of the public more than Donald Trump at this point. And he's in double digit figures, way above any of the other candidates, no matter what he says, and no matter all the criticism and the way that they've gone after him. He continues to rise in the polls because that reflects this Pew study, this massive 6,000 member Pew study that right now is not just talking about the way the media is, you know, negatively influencing people's thinking or, you know, the way they look at the world, but they're also saying that people are disgusted with government. People don't trust the government. I think 19% right now trust the U.S. government to get anything done. So, you know, yeah. I think we're looking at the age of the insurgent right now, and maybe it's, you know, finally the public saying, enough is enough, and looking for something different.
We can track John's work on onlinecolumnist.com. John, thank you. Lawyers apparently have the lowest health and well-being among all white-collar workers, according to a new study. The research also indicates that those working in law are the highest users and abusers of alcohol and nicotine. At least a dozen people became sick in San Diego after they apparently ingested a batch of synthetic marijuana, also known as spice. What's up in the skies these days? Let's check in with our astronomer, Stephen Cates, Dr. Sky. What do we have this week, Stephen?
Oh, George, as we kick off the holiday season here, lots of great things to look at. Our coast audience gets a treat at the full beaver moon Wednesday evening, rising, of course, just after sunset. And stay with the moon, George, because as sky watchers move into Turkey Day, the early morning hours of Thanksgiving, you may notice, this comes around 3 a.m. local time in all the time zones, you may notice an orange star right next to the moon. For a good portion of the northern part of the United States and Canada, we call this an occultation, when the moon covers up the star in Taurus, called Aldebaran. For the rest of us in the southern portion of the United States, the moon and that star will graze close together. But George, there's something equally exciting, a new comet. We haven't talked about comets in a while. Comet Catalina, fresh out of the sun, sky watchers should be able to get a glimpse, though you'll need a pair of binoculars, as we move to the end of November. But here's something, a real showstopper, George. But mark the date of December the 7th, the morning of. It is said that this particular comet will, of course, be very close to the planet Venus and the crescent moon. And what happens on that day, George, and hopefully we'll talk in detail as we approach it, This event on the morning of December the 7th, the moon will actually eclipse the planet Venus in daylight, and all this with the comet in the sky makes for a heck of a way to start off the holidays. And finally, folks, if you want to check, go to drsky.com. George, when we were privileged to talk with you from the air.
I love that night.
Now, 747, we have it up on drsky.com and photorecon.net. And George, above all, happy Thanksgiving to you, the staff, and all the Coast listeners.
You too, Dr. Sky. Talk to you soon. Up next, we're going to talk about psychokinesis. Now, that's the ability to influence matter through non-physical means. It's an amazing, amazing phenomenon. And also the healing heart. Joseph Gallenberger joins us next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Joseph Gallenberger, of course, is a clinical psychologist, 30-plus years experience as a therapist. In 1992, he began to investigate PK, psychokinesis, which I just mentioned, is the ability to influence matter through non-physical means. And Dr. Gallenberger is a senior trainer at the Monroe Institute. He trains just a number of people with these special programs developed by the Institute's highly successful MC program. And he has developed, of course, what we're going to talk about later tonight, the Healing Heart CD. It's an amazing story. And Joseph, welcome back. Always good to chat with you, Doc.
Good evening, George. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. You ready for Thanksgiving?
Yes. In North Carolina, we dropped to 26 degrees last night. So
yeah, it's been
cold.
Feels
a little more like Christmas than Thanksgiving, but we're ready.
It's time. We are moving toward winter. It's about time. What have you been doing since the last time we talked, about a year or so ago?
Yeah, quite a bit. Right after we talked, Elena, my wife, and I had the joy of our first grandchild come on. So,
congratulations.
Born grandchild who just started crawling last week. She's 9 months old now.
It's a great feeling, isn't it?
Yes.
Joseph, I want to talk in the next half hour about the healing heart and what it does. But you have been so influential in the field of psychokinesis, the ability to influence matter through non-physical means. Have you concluded how it works? Because I'm convinced it does work, but how does it work?
Well, you're correct. You know, when we look at the meta-analysis of studies now over 30 years, we get the proof it works at about a trillion to one by chance through many reputable universities, Princeton, Engineering Anomalous Research, Duke, number of places. And now we've taken a step since, at least I became aware of, since we talked last. One of the problems, George, was that the model we have of our brain has been Newtonian physics-based, neurons and connections. And it looks like PK works, if it works, is through quantum physics types of things. And I was reading and saw some shows on Stuart Hameroff recently about these microtubulins that are in each neuron. And they started with paramecia, just a one-cell animal which doesn't have any neurons, and it can learn to go through mazes faster, different things. So they said, how could consciousness or intelligence exist here without neurons? And they found these microtubulin structures that are very, very tiny. So hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions, exist in every cell that we have, a nerve cell. So they're so small that they work in the quantum field. And so for a good while, you know, people with trying artificial intelligence have been thinking, if we could get a computer with enough connections to match how many neurons in their connections that we have, which I think is about 10 to the 16th power, many, we would have the ability to duplicate human consciousness. Now it looks like it would need to be 10 to the 24th power, because every neuron we have has all these additional structures, even smaller, that work on a quantum basis. So we're thinking, we're moving toward that direction of putting the smoking gun there. How does it work? What's the chain of causation? So that's one thing that's being studied. Another I'm working with, University of Virginia, Department of Perceptual Studies, and this data is so new it's just in pilot form, but they had me on a 128 lead EEG on my head doing psychokinesis studies, and we got, it looks like, significance on the PK tasks, and with that, some really interesting brain patterns.
What would be successful in a test like that, Joseph?
Well, it's actually kind of a boring test. You stare at it for 45 seconds, and then you leave it alone for 45 seconds through 100 trials, okay?
All right.
And what you're trying to do is get some sensors in the box that are shielded from all known types of energies like electromagnetic, et cetera. You're trying to get those sensors to jump with your mind or your energy.
Okay, and you're going to do it 100 times. So what would be successful, or what would you say would be a number that would make you think this is working?
I did not see the raw data. My sense is you were getting a little feedback tone when you did it right, that I was hitting, I'd say, about 80% of the time when it was in the affected condition I was affecting it.
That's huge.
Yeah, so if the feedback beep was correct. Now, you know me, George, I think it's a lot sexier to sit at a slot machine and get a royal flush in the first pull.
Well, that's true. You've done stuff like that with your mind, haven't you?
Yeah. So since I've talked to you, we've gotten a dozen royal flushes and a lot of other things, and it's moving quicker and quicker. That almost always when we sit there, I sit down, I'm getting some jackpot hand within the first three pulls.
You got to tell us, Joseph, how the heck you do that? I mean, are you sitting there? Are you meditating? What are you doing? Because, you know, I've seen people go to Las Vegas and they come back kind of forlorn losers, or there's always somebody that they call the cooler that happens to be with them, where his negative influence kind of like sucks the room dry. How do you make that positive change when you're doing something like that?
Well, I'm having the good fortune now to go out with a group. We call it Inner Vegas Adventure Workshop. We've done about 77 of them now. And so we meditate the day the first day we're together. We talk about psychokinesis. We talk about how to raise great heart energy, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, later in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then do visualize success well before we ever go into the casino. So then with energy very high, a clear picture of intention in your mind, when you sit down on the machine, you actually kind of let go of the intent and let the energy flow. Often I will be using some of the mental imagery that I developed through my Liquid Lux CD or Abundance Waterfall. For example, Abundance Waterfall, you're imagining all the abundance in your life, the dogs and cats, books you've read, friends, beautiful nature scenes, cascading around you like a beautiful blessing. And then the jackpot on the slot machine is like the cherry on top of the sundae. So it's that, kind of a feeling of great abundance before you ever sit down.
So you have to do that then. That's the secret. You have to really create the mood before you even go in there.
Yes, that's correct. And doing it as a group like we do, of course, can be easier because everybody gets excited and we're all counting on each other, so there's a real team approach. You don't want to let anybody down. I don't know about you, but, you know, if I had to exercise every day at 10 o'clock, the chances are less than 50-50 I would do it. But if I were meeting you to play tennis, I would be there because I made a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody's made this commitment to really create great energy for the weekend for abundance, healing, and manifesting what they'd like.
What a powerful gift. Joseph, stand by. We're going to come back and talk about your latest work, The Healing Heart. What an incredible story you're about to hear. And we're even going to play a little clip later on of the CD from The Healing Heart, just so you have an idea of things you need to do to change things. We'll be back. And in a moment, we'll be back with Joseph Gallenberger as we talk about The Healing Heart and the incredible things it can do. And welcome back to Coast to Coast with Joseph Gallenberger as we talk to the doctor. He's a clinical psychologist about the healing heart. Now, this is not going to be a medical portion. We're talking about the amazing properties of the heart. And, Joseph, you got to tell us, how did you figure this one out?
Well, George, in all the other work with the intervagus and liquid luck and all, it really became clear to me. And in the psychokinesis work as a subject, that raising a very high fine energy was the way to affect matter with your mind, if you will, affect energy healing, manifesting. And so the best energy for that was the energy of a very wide open, loving heart. And I've been talking heart to many people and the word love quite often. And realize that for many people, they're not even quite sure what I'm talking about. So I went ahead and applied all this, the technology we have now to create a very powerful meditation CD using our best technologies to relax a person, put them out of fear, moving them into a situation where their heart could open very powerfully, and then they could sustain that flow of wonderful heart energy over some time, and then apply it in the healing heart to healing themselves and others, and in the abundant heart CD into first seeking their own heart's wisdom about what they really, really want, which is often a surprise to them. It tends not to be the new Mercedes, so there's nothing wrong with that, but things that are deeper and more fulfilling. And then applying that energy to help you create that in your life. So we used beautiful music because music for, you know, millennia has been one way people's heart open. We used the binaural beat technologies like you see in the HemiSync from Monroe Institute, similar technology to that for relaxing and expanded consciousness, and something we call modulation techniques, kind of like the Doppler effect when a train goes by and mm-hmm. the sound goes, that type of thing, to pass back and forth in front of the, through the headphones to generate some gamma stimulation, because we find gamma waves are, seem to be activated in these states of high PK or high healing. So we're putting all that together with some very gentle instruction and guidance about what it might be like to have an open heart, how you might do it, and then how to apply it.
Now, the heart is much more than just an apparatus, an organ that pumps blood, isn't it?
Definitely. HeartMath Institute has been studying that quite thoroughly. They find when the electric rhythm of the heart gets more coherent on the physical heart, very positive effects happen, and the heart generates a larger electromagnetic field than the brain to begin with, but we're learning the heart has an intelligence of its own, and getting heart energy to be coherent and powerful seems to have very great effects, body, mind, and spirit. It even seems to affect the planet. They have something now called the Global Coherence Project,
right,
which is different. We talked about the Global Consciousness Project before with random number generators.
That's right.
But the Global Coherence Project has sensors around the world now to measure the Earth's geomagnetic field. And when many people in a particular area move into a coherent heart energy state through meditation, those sensors indicate that the Earth's magnetic field responds as well, just to human consciousness.
I've got to assume with what's going on right now on this planet, Joseph, that there's a lack of something to do with the heart, because I've never seen a time, and of course I wasn't born during World War II, I was born during the Korean War, but I've never seen a time where the planet is so hateful.
Yes, I would guess I would use the word fearful. And to me, love does not have an opposite. Hate's not the opposite of love. But fear can cloud love. And we have such fear going now that love is clouded over, and therefore that mutes heart energy, if you want to put it in those terms. So we've moved away from lovingness by all these messages of fear and the actions that we see that are dramatic, voting for fear on the planet right now. So I consider this stuff really important that we get our act together and start calming down.
Jeez, fast,
out
too.
Out of fear, opening our hearts, not in an airy-fairy way, but actually to apply the power of human consciousness to settle things down and create some peace here that could spread.
I want to play a little excerpt from your CDs of The Healing Heart, The Abundant Heart, and they give folks just a little opportunity here to hear what you're talking about. And then we'll get into some of the exercises that you've created here and some other things on manifestation. So let's listen to this little clip.
You can take a few minutes to completely relax using any method that you wish. For example, you can continue relaxing your body more and more deeply. Or you can recall a very pleasant and peaceful place and take yourself there in your imagination. And I will begin speaking with you again after this time has passed.
So, Joseph, tell me what you're trying to accomplish with this.
Okay, this little excerpt is from the very beginning of the exercise. And the first thing we want people to do is begin to really relax and let go of the problem of the day. Because, again, you can't be in fear and tension and be relaxed at the same time.
So no,
as we accent that relaxing, we begin to really, there's sounds in the background that are also, you know, making left and right hemispheres of the brain get in more synchrony. And when that happens, the ego goes to sleep a bit, because the ego is kind of a left brain function.
Mm-hmm.
So when the ego is kind of beginning to go to sleep and settle down, then we can get more in touch with heart consciousness, with loving feelings, etc. So the first step is to get people to relax, and then on the clip, at least on the phone, what I could hear is some of the background music in my voice. The binaural beat signals and other things are near inaudible unless you were listening, you know, on headphones. But that's what we're doing right at the beginning. And then we suggest ways that a person could begin to open their heart, some perhaps fill their hands with light and put them over their hearts, that they could think of someone they love. They could repeat the phrase, I am love, over and over. Different ways to just get into a state of lovingness.
And the goal, doing that, what's the goal? What are you trying to accomplish?
Okay, so then we're within that, and most people pick, say, thinking of someone they love, like my new granddaughter would do it for me.
In a heartbeat, literally.
Yes. So, you know, people get into loving feelings by watching movies of puppies or things, but it's usually pretty temporary. And our goal is to get this heart flowing through the whole period of meditation and then going on into their lives, so they can carry that forward into the day. Again, with the, we find that heart energy being open is so powerful. I mentioned DOPS research that they were doing with me in University of Virginia. They've also been studying groups of our MC Squared at Monroe Institute now for several years. And as we have that same box that I mentioned, this dull gray box in the middle of the room, if we think of someone we love and send energy through the box to help them heal, for example, those detectors also jump. So that we have some pretty good evidence. You know, people say become one with the spoon if you're doing metal bending. Growing seeds in your hand, you want to be loving and grateful toward the life and toward this seed in your hand. That lovingness gets us out of ego, which separates us from things, and you have to be in connection. The lovingness also gets us grounded and here now in the present moment. And a lot of our problems are we're not really here. We're thinking about the future, worried about the past. We think it's such a rough planet, boy, I need a vacation. You know, give me a beer or let me watch a sport
or let me stick my head in the sand or something.
Yeah,
right?
And all of that disconnects us. So moving into that strong heart connection reconnects us and gives us the power of now, where we can really begin to create from there something positive.
Some people, Joseph, are naturally good at this. You can tell in their personality how outgoing they are, how kind they are, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. But I'm going to read you something.
All right.
This came to me this week from South Africa. He says, listening to the meditation CDs changes me into the person I've always wanted to be. I'm finding myself in my relationship with my family after more than 30 years of tension and fighting to be so much improved. Gosh, I'm really pleased. I also used to be a very negative thinker, and once I'm in a bad mood, it was tough getting out. In the past month or so, reading Liquid Luck Handbook and Inner Vegas, I'm becoming more and more the person I always wanted to be.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm getting lots of compliments from people about how good a person I am.
I like that.
Yeah, so people can shift, you know?
Yeah, they can. I wonder if we should pipe this music throughout the Middle East, you know, in Arabic or something like that. Something needs to be done.
I would like to see everything settle down, that's for sure.
Now, the mere fact that you go into meditation seems to be the thing for just about anything, reducing stress, and as you talk about the healing heart, and we're going to get into some of the things you can do to heal. But why is it the heart, Joseph? Even our ancients knew that the heart was the focal point. And then carry that forward to, you know, the holiday traditions, for example, of like Valentine's Day, where you can't see a card without a picture of a heart on it. How did they know this?
I think we know it like we breathe. We just feel so strongly this connection that the human heart is what's activated when we are loving. And I don't know if you've had this experience, but many people have when they're in a very loving state, that whole area of the heart even feels warmer, or it might feel that there's light there.
You feel stronger.
Yeah, and the heartbeat changes, as I mentioned, gets more coherent. So from puppy love, where it goes pitter-patter in the cartoons, to, pictures of religious statues with the Sacred Heart, to the Valentines, as you've mentioned, I agree with you that it's been a cultural wisdom worldwide, best I know, from the beginning of time. And so at least we know where it is. The challenge can be somehow to get there, particularly if fears are activated. That puts us in the flight-fight, changes our circulatory system very dramatically, and changes our heart rate and gets our mind filled with thoughts that just gets a cycle of stress going.
I'm getting a lot of messages, Joseph. I wanted to talk about this next hour, but people are saying, where can I get the CDs? You have it available as a download, too, don't you?
Yes. My books and stuff are on Amazon, but my CDs, the easiest way is healingheartcd.com or abundantheartcd.com would take you to my website, and the downloads are available there as well as the CDs.
How long does it take to really get yourself into this mood, I should say?
That's part of the miracle. With the kind of technologies we have now, it can take less than 10 minutes to get there.
That's it?
Yep. You know, these things are about 35 minutes long, and within 10 minutes in there, we're beginning to work on that heart opening. And many times, just the first time someone listens to it, they're on their way. So we beta test these, of course. We give them to a group before releasing the general public to see if we need to fine-tune them. And in the first two groups that listen to these, you know, one fellow had heart surgery, and his heart was all weak and rhythm and stuff. Since the surgery, he came out right out of the CD after the first time, feeling his heartbeat was nice and strong. Another woman said in the group confirmed, too, that her heart rate seemed better, and they both were feeling more settled, more loving. So it can be a rapid shift in basically a half hour.
Well, you know, cardiologists are now saying, and they never would have said this years ago, that the heart does have an ability to heal itself. And I find that amazing, tied in and coupled with this. Plus, we have a guest, a great researcher, Christian Wild, who has a number of sources with the medical community, Joseph, where they're injecting stem cells now into the heart, and the heart is literally regenerating itself in its youth, you know, its very youthful look and appearance.
And some people don't realize, you know, what the heart does first is feed itself through the coronary arteries. When it pumps the best, freshest blood back to itself. So it feeds itself first and then feeds the rest of the body with the circulation. And I think that's a great model, George, because what we're finding in abundance work, healing work, and all of this is you fill yourself to overflowing with good feelings, and then you help your family, and then you help your friends and your community. But, you know, else you just get burned out or exhausted trying to fix the problems in the world, if you will.
The meditation, Joseph, of healing the heart, liquid luck, they're very similar, because I've listened to all of your work. It's very similar with different results, or are the results generally the same? I mean, if you're going to, let's say, heal the heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
By doing the meditation, does that also increase your luck at the same time?
It seems to. Many of these have similar healing, manifesting, and PK results, and they each come at it in a different way. Like liquid luck, take a drink and you have a good day. But what you're filling yourself with in that elixir that you drink in imagination is, as you remember, probably happiness, gratitude, compassion, all those good feelings. Abundance waterfall, it's like a waterfall around you. And so each image will catch a different person at a different time, a different way, but moving them to the same kind of places. So we get reports like this week one came in on abundance waterfall, where the woman listened to it for the first time, went to a casino, and within the first half hour, won $10,000 on penny slots.
I love it. I want to talk more about that. Not that we're giving people tips on casinos and gambling, but it's interesting. It's used as a gauge to see how this works, and
yeah,
we're going to do that.
You can see, you know, instant results. Where
that's right. It's like a
test. That's why we mention them. You know, there's things that are much more important than that jackpot.
Hold on, Joseph. We're at the break, but we're going to come right back at the top of the hour. Plus, we're going to open up the phone lines to discuss all of this with you.